It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day so far. I'm back in the saddle. I did survive Vegas, contrary to what many believe. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane on the ones and twos, and I am, of course, Chase McCabe. Jojo, what's up?
Chase, you're back safe and sound. Let's do a kidney check. You got your kidneys?
Yeah, I'm good. I am good.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back, pal. It's good to see your smiling, beautiful face in wherever you are in this world today.
Well, you know, I'm in my home studio, but I got in around 1 a.m., but hey, you know what? I'm here.
Fancy.
Ready to rock and roll.
Home studio. How was Vegas?
Vegas was good. It was very windy, as Dr. Crane, I'm sure, can attest to, because he was out there, too, but it was very, very windy, so not your typical Vegas temperatures. Needed a light jacket, but that didn't stop us. So it was a good time, and enjoyed it.
Did you go?
I actually did get some rest.
I don't believe that. Did you go to the race?
No. See, everybody, and I mean, everybody probably should think that about me, but no, I actually didn't go for the race. I knew it was out there, and I had thought about it, but I've done that race before, and just really wanted to kind of take a sports break, to be honest with you.
And, so you go gambling. Sports
so
books.
So go gambling, yeah. I made one bet, and it was on the race.
Did you win?
No.
Okay.
So.
Well, welcome back, pal. It's good to have you back. Just back in time for the Nashville Predators to win game number 9 tonight.
I know, against Montreal, 8 in a row. Tommy Novak gets a new deal. What else did I miss over the weekend? Titans do anything?
The Titans did nothing, but you missed the Tennessee Vols basketball team go down to Alabama and smack them around for 40 minutes, which was really good.
I did watch that on Saturday.
That's cool. And then, you know, Alabama pulls out, you know, Saban was there and DeBoyer, the new coach, and these golfing guys. Oh, I mean, it was fun. They were ready to celebrate down in Tuscaloosa, and Tennessee went down there, just slapped them around, and got the big win. It was a great win for the Tennessee basketball team. And now South Carolina tomorrow night, and then finish it up at Kentucky Saturday at Thompson Bowling, which would be a raucous environment.
Yeah, and look, they needed to do that. I thought that they would, but, you know, sometimes you got to flex to help your status, and they went and they did that.
I flex every morning. My favorite
in front of the mirror.
My favorite bodybuilder of all time, and this is old school, Tom Platz. Never heard of him? Look him up. So he's got the best flexing on stage of all time. So every time I hear somebody say flex, I always think about Tom Platz, the bodybuilder. So yeah, so I'll no, but you're right though. Good for Tennessee to get that win Saturday night. They can beat South Carolina, beat Kentucky. You know, and things go their way, they'll be a number one seed. And it still wrapped my mind around how getting to the Final Four in college basketball might be one of the hardest things non-championship to attain. Do you agree?
I agree with that.
Because they've never been.
I 100% agree with that.
Look, you can get to the Stanley Cup Final. You get to the Super Bowl. You get to the NBA Final. I get all that. But to the Final Four, how many teams have not been to the Final Four? And then you look like, well, Kentucky's been a million times, Carolina's been a million times, and Kansas and all that, and Duke. And there's so many that have never been to the Final Four. I'd love to see the Vols get to the Final Four.
I would too, and it'd be great for our area and obviously for us to talk about. I mean, think about this, a March where the Vols get to the Final Four and the Predators are in the playoffs and knocking on the door of the playoffs and going this run like they've been on.
That'd be fantastic.
And also free agency for the Titans and all of that mixed in. Vandy baseball getting going. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, everybody's like, oh, we're in the doldrums and the downtime. I'd say things are pretty exciting right
this
now.
This is when sports talk's fun, because you got to be creative, be different, come up with great things. Certain questions of the day you got to have, right?
That's right, which you just took the words right out of my mouth. So well, what is our question?
I was listening to our good friends Robbie and Rex about this whole Caitlin Clark and how people are having a meltdown because she's now scored the most points. And, you know, Pete Maravich did this and that. So I'm thinking, in sports records, right, when it's not the same, should there be an asterisk by the record? Should there be an asterisk by a sports record when things are not the same? I give you this example. O.J. Simpson rushed for 2,000 yards in 1972, whatever it was, in 14 games. Chris Johnson did it in 16 games. Eric Dickerson did it 16 games. I don't know if Derrick Henry do it in 17 games. I don't remember.
16.
Okay. So should there be an asterisk by these certain things that go on in sports with the scoring and with titles and with things? I think there should be. There should be a thing. You look at a record like O.J. Simpson and say, oh, well, you know, these guys had this, this, this. Ah, but O.J. only did it in 14 games or whoever it might be. I think it needs to be said in there that here's what happened. Like the Dolphins went 14-0 in 1972. There should be, you know, another team. I know the Patriots did it in 2007, went 16-0. All right, yeah, 16-0. But when things like that happen, I think there should be like, all right, well, they did it in 14 games. I just think you need to – it's not taking anything away from – I don't think so. But what it's doing is like, all right, well, they did it in 14 games. And, you know, things like when O.J. did it or Walter Payton did it or whomever – I think we should put an asterisk by those things. That's our question today. Do you care if there's an asterisk or not? Or just like, I just let it go? Because it was a great conversation I had at the gym this morning about a guy like, ah, well, you know, this they did in so many games. They had more games to do it. I just, you know, want to know. Another example, Chaser, I'm going to be dominating right now, is
no,
like now in baseball, you know, it's like Chase McCabe's had more hits in the playoffs than anybody else. Well, you've also got more opportunities to play playoff baseball games now than, say, you know, you did and, you know, Daryl Strawberry had in 1986 with the Met. Whatever. You get more chances now. So should you add that asterisk for things like that, for baseball and other sports that go on? Because I think you should. Because if you played in 47 playoff games and you had 52 hits and Nick Frazier played in 19 games and had 51 hits, I think we need to, if you beat the record, I think that needs to be known.
So this is kind of an interesting topic to have, you know, for me especially, because I'm exhausted, and so I think I'm going to be a little passionate about it, to be honest with you. I mean, honestly, I don't care if there's an asterisk or not. I think as a sports fan, especially if it's a sport that you're really passionate about, that, you know, you just kind of need to know. Just kind of know these things. Like, I get it. Pete Maravich did it in less games without a 3-point line. That's pretty damn impressive. But guess what? That was the rules of his era.
Right. That, so we should acknowledge that. Era. We should acknowledge that, right?
Right. Right. So acknowledge the era. And nobody ever wants to do that. You know, you always get the, well, LeBron James would kick Jordan's ass, you know, and he's the best of all time. Okay, he's the best of his era. Like, I mean, head-to-head, because truthfully, we'll never know. We'll never know. It's impossible. It's a fun, lazy sports talk question, but we'll never know.
Lazy sports talk.
Well, it is.
Well, Mike on the text line's got a good one. We want your response at 615.
Not our question, by the way, the Jordan versus LeBron thing.
Okay,
That's what I mean. Our question is not lazy. We are not – well, we are lazy, but in different ways.
Right. So, and we put a lot into the show, my friend. 615-737-1025. Should you have an asterisk? Mike has one. He says, I put an asterisk by the Patriots and the Michigan Championships. Both involved cheating. And that's something I didn't – I'm just thinking about records. I never thought about championships on that level. You know, is the Michigan Championship going to be investigated and how they cheat on and on? We don't know that. But if it is, does the asterisk go besides Michigan because they have been, I don't say, you know, convicted of cheating or whatever, but should that happen when it goes on? I don't know right now because it hasn't been to that level, but you know, you could always add that. But as far as sports records go, I think, though, you know, and it, you know, can flip both sides. You know, guys do it in less time than to have a sports record. There's few and far between. But with the main thing being, should there be an asterisk by – you know, I mean, a lot of those baseball guys did in 154 games, and, you know, then they moved the schedule to 162 games. I know it's apples and oranges, but this whole Caitlin Clark is just – it's driving people crazy. And, again, I agree with Robbie and Rexro this morning. Why can't people just celebrate her accomplishment? And everybody's who cares? Who cares? That's why I think you throw the asterisk and say, look, here's what happened. Here's what Pistol Pete did or whomever did that. And then kind of say, here's what it was at the time.
Here's my thing on that. I mean, I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here because I do think you have to recognize the different eras of sports.
Yeah.
But as 9756 says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, Heck no, every record will have an asterisk. Sports change the rules of the game too often. And that's true, especially in the last 20 to 30 years. You can think about, you know, there have, or really longer than that, there have been, you know, a lot of rules, a lot of things that have changed that can affect records. You know, the 17-game season has changed. You've added a playoff team in the NFL. The NCAA tournament expanded from 64 to 68. The baseball rules have changed probably 50 times, you know, in different ways. And so I get all of that. So do we really want all our records to have an asterisk, or is it simply just, hey, you know, you need to understand the eras in which these people played, and you know, they broke the rules within that era.
Well,
they broke the records within that era.
That's a great question. I also think it should be, you know, you go back and look how you know, Peyton Manning had 487 touchdown passes over his career. That doesn't matter to me. I think it's more individual season records that are attained. I mean, Caitlin Clark did that. You can compare her, like, well, she did all that. Well, what's the men's? Pistol Pete did it in this many games. I think it should only be if you beat somebody. Like, if I beat you in goal score and I scored 52 in 82 games, but you scored 50 in 70 games because I beat you, I think you should still have that respect of, all right, well, Chase did it in 70 games. Joe had 12 more. What would happen if Chase had 12 more games? I mean, it's a great debate that goes on and on. I don't think over a career-wise, for the most part, that plays into it. But if I beat your record in today's whatever it is, I think, and you broke it in 1978 or whatever, I do think I owe you that respect of the asterisk saying, all right, Chase had this many games, I had that many games. And to me, that's kind of where the argument is. For me, not really an argument. It's more kind of a respect thing for the person that did have the record to start.
Yeah, 100%. And we will continue to discuss this throughout the show. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts on this. Should there be an asterisk when it comes to records? And look, I haven't had a chance to comment on this. Caitlin Clark, like, deserves every accolade. Like, she deserves this. She has earned it. And people that are giving her crap and saying, you know, all this stuff. Like, I get it. You're right. Pistol Pete did it without a three-point line. That's fantastic. She has a three-point line. And so, like, I'm tiptoeing here. But it's like some people need to just quit. Just give her credit and stop trying to find a reason to discredit her. Like, it's just BS. Like, just stop. Like, she earned it. She absolutely earned it. And she is a fantastic athlete. She is a great model for men and women, you know, athletes out there. It shouldn't matter. And, you know, I think it was a really cool thing that happened over the weekend. So we'll continue the discussion with our question of the day. Should records, all records, have an asterisk to basically denote the eras? We'll do that. Plus, as you mentioned at the start of the show, the Predators are streaking. 8 in a row, going for 9 tonight against the Habs. And Barry Trotz made his first quote-unquote deal before the deadline. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, 1025, 1063 The Game. Dr. Green, how did you get sound of me in Vegas?
I had my sources.
Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Frank the Tank bringing us back, of course, as the Predators look to make it 9 in a row tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have coverage for you at 6 o'clock. Also, Barry Trotz scheduled to join Jared today at 5 o'clock pre-deadline. And working on having him on Friday as well. Jared will be live at Bridgestone Arena for post-deadline as well. So looking forward to all of that. But fun over the weekend, and Tommy Novak gets rewarded. Scores an awesome goal the other night and then gets a three-year contract extension. That news coming out yesterday. Really glad they got that done, Joe. That was, I guess, the first domino to fall for the Predators, at least, for the trade deadline. But getting that done, so he will not be moved. And a pretty good deal for him, 3 years at $3.5 million per.
Yeah, it is. Remember, we adopted Tommy Novak back in September or October just because that's a blue-collar name, Tom Novak. Yeah. Sounds like a detective, like some detective show, you know. Detective Novak here. I think it's great. And, you know, he's proven that he belongs here and he needs to stay here and get him now and sign him up. And, look, that question's now done and over with. He's on the team for the next 3 years. Moving on. Great job. And, you know, of course it feels good when you've won 8 straight and going for your 9th win tonight instead of signing somebody and you've lost 8 straight. It's a different narrative you got there. But, I mean, good. I mean, things are going good right now for the Nashville Predators. And you signed Tommy Novak. Hopefully the talk has been put away about trades for Saros and what goes on. And, look, as I've told you, Chase, the most important game for the Nashville Predators in their history is what?
The next one.
Is tonight. Correct, yeah. Young man. The Montreal game tonight is the most important game in Nashville Predators history because it's the next one. Then you add on top of it that it's, you know, going for your 9th straight win. You're playing an original 6 team, which comes to Nashville only. Montreal only comes here once a year, so you should go out and see that. If you love hockey or love sports in general, go see a team that, as I told Pete Weber yesterday, growing up here, you as well, do you ever think you'd see Montreal Canadiens come to town? No. Or the Bruins or the Rangers or whomever. So go out tonight and have fun. But getting Tommy Novak signed, locking him up, and then move on and just, you know, take care of business tonight. And things are looking good because they are winning.
They are. And so it raises this question, you know, and this is a tough one. I don't envy Barry Trotz because a few weeks ago, this team is in a situation where it's like, hey, things aren't going well. It might be time to start selling off some assets. Well, then they go on this streak, and it completely changes the narrative. Now they're in the playoffs. Barry Trotz comes out last week and says, you know,
Oh, no, Chase, come back.
What?
You left us.
Oh.
Okay, you're back. I thought maybe somebody broke in and took you away from us. All right, good.
No, I'm here. And then Barry Trotz said last week that as long as the team is in the playoffs, you know, he's not going to trade UC Saros. So now they're in a completely different conversation. I still don't think this team is in full-on ad mode. You know, we're going to go out and give future assets to, you know, get a player that'll help you on a playoff run now. I don't think you're necessarily there, but I don't think you're necessarily in sell mode either. So if there's a piece that the Predators can add that you think can help, then okay, maybe you consider it. But if you're Barry Trotz, do you also look at the fact that the team you have as currently constructed has won 8 in a row, can possibly win 9 in a row after tonight? Do you really want to mess that up?
I agree.
Do you want to upset that apple cart?
Yeah, you go back to when Peter Forsberg came here in 2007. What did it do? I think it upset the camaraderie. I don't think Forsberg did anything to push this team forward. You know, here's one of the iconic hockey players of all time. Did nothing, you know, and there might be some
hurt.
Other guys.
That was the other thing.
Yeah. They got San Jose beat him in the first round, I think it was. And then, you know, when Mike Fisher came back in 20, God bless him. I mean, we love him, but didn't really help the hockey team anything. And I think Barry Trotz is very cognizant of that, of like, all right, who am I going to add that's not going to take away from what we're doing right now? Because you know this, Chase, with these locker rooms, I mean, there's a lot of ego. I'm not saying the Predators got them, but every locker room's got ego, and you bring somebody in, and it's like, oh, why are they bringing this guy in here? Or, you know, hey, you know, Nick Frazier's doing a great job, but we bring in Bill Smith. We all love Nick Frazier, and Bill Smith comes in, and, you know, he's not – immediately we don't like him. So I think you have to look overall, and it's – the psychology of this, of adding a player, just because you want to add him, think what he could do, but what's the effect in the locker room? What's the effect, what goes on there with players and everybody else? There's a lot more to it than it's like, hey, let's just add a player to the team right now and see what he could do. But I just think, I don't know. There's probably a few instances where that's worked. I can't think of one right now, so I just know the ones that are right in front of my face.
Sure. And I mean, look, Tyson Barry, I think, is probably going to be traded. He's clearly not a fit, hadn't been happy. If they can get anything for him, they will. You know, I think that's kind of been the issue. But other than that, it'd be really hard to convince me that trading away a piece to add another piece, you know, is really going to put you over the top. You know, I think right now you still have to keep an eye on the future. And, you know, because I know everybody's excited and everybody should be excited, and I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer here, but, like, I still – it's a tough road. You know, right now the Predators would play the Vancouver Canucks in the opening round. That is not easy because Vancouver is a pretty good hockey team. Now, you're a pretty good hockey team right now, but you've still shown signs of inconsistency. Getting into the playoffs changes things. Getting into the playoffs, we saw it in 2017, anything can happen. I get that, and I would love that. That would be awesome. But you can't like jump in the DeLorean and go to the future and rob from the future to help right now. You still have to stick to the plan, and I think Barry Trotz is thinking that and certainly going to do that.
Well, we will find out. We got, what, Friday is the day, right?
Yep, Friday at, I think it's 2 o'clock, the trade deadline. So, you know, I know this is a busy week for the insiders like Elliot and you know, others. And look, I have a feeling the Preds are going to do something. I don't think it's going to be this blockbuster move that's going to have the entire NHL talking. But do I think they're going to make a move or two that are, you know, kind of similar to what they did? You know, in 2017, what they added Vern Fiddler and they added P.A. Parenteau. You know, somebody
who?
Like that, I think. Exactly.
What year was this?
Thank you, Mr. Burns. 2017.
Zolnarchuk, was he on the team already? I don't remember.
Yeah, he was already there.
Parente?
But, I mean, they made a couple of in Parenteau. And then, oh, who was the other guy, the fighter? But they added a couple of – Cody McLeod. Like, that was really the deals that they did. So, that's the kind of stuff I expect. But we'll see. We will talk to Hal Gill coming up next, our buddy, as he will give his thoughts on tonight's game and what the Predators have done lately. We'll do that here on the Chase and
Big Joe
Show.
Hold on, real quick. I'm going to reboot. We've touched a nerve on the text line with this Astros thing. Keep them coming. We'll read them today. We'll go back. Our question today is, should there be an asterisk added to sports records if they happen in a different era or more games or less games? And you guys, this is touching her. We don't mean to upset you guys. We just want to hear your opinion. So let us know, 615-737-1025.
We will do that, of course, throughout the show here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Eastern Michigan at the Hawk. Pregame at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Tuesday. Let's say hello to our man Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, as the Predators back in action tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Is this one, Matt, that Max would dub the Battle of Halberta, since these are two of your former clubs?
Two of my players, yeah, it is a Battle of Halberta. Yeah, no, this would be... It's always fun when Montreal comes into town. They travel deep, and so I still know a lot of people around that organization, and you know, this will be fun. Hopefully, Preds can keep on with the heater that they're on.
What was it like playing? You played in Toronto. You played in Montreal. You obviously played in Boston. I mean, these are historic hockey markets. Original Six. Did it live up to everything that you had thought, or was it something that was completely different in your mind?
Yeah, well, each one of them is different, right? When you're playing for an Original Six, you know, I grew up in Boston, and that was my first team, so I guess I was oblivious to it. I played there for 9 years, so I didn't really understand how big of a deal it was. It was just in my backyard, and I'd go to the rink like I always did. You know, I was living at home my first year, and you know, so it was kind of normal. And then when I went to Toronto, I was like, whoa, this is a big deal. Like every game was huge, and it's just it's a whole different beast. When you go on the road, there's the blue jerseys everywhere. There's a lot of travel with those guys. And then Montreal, of course, brings in the French aspect and two sets of media and the frenzy that Montreal is. So it's a lot. It's every day. It's the biggest game on a Tuesday night against it doesn't matter who it is. It's the biggest game in town and everyone's talking about it. So it makes it a lot of fun, but it's also, it can be stressful. You know, you come to Nashville and they're all big games, but you know, you have a day off where, you know, you can kind of chill out. But right now it seems like there's a buzz in the city and everyone's talking about it. So we got a big market right now.
Yeah, there is a buzz, and the Predators have won 8 in a row, looking to make it 9 in a row tonight against the Habs. But I do want to start with a guy that I know, he's a Hal Gill guy. I mean, you love Tommy Novak. How could you not? You know, watching his game, you know, he's kind of a quiet guy, goes out there and speaks with his actions, gets a 3-year deal. That was something that Barry Trotz had talked about, that, you know, they wanted to get done, didn't want to let him leave for nothing. They don't have to worry about that anymore because he's going to be a Predator for the next 3 years, and very happy for Tommy Novak.
Yeah, you know what? It's what's funny is you say he's a Hal Gill type of guy. He's so far from my game. and so different, but I just can't help but respect the way he plays the game. He takes a beating. He's a smaller guy, and he takes the hits, but he still makes plays, and he finds ways to fit in seams, and I think he's gotten his game to another level. That goal he scored the other night where he just fakes the pass to Evangelista, sells a defenseman, pulls it backhand, forehand, and quick shot under the bar. Like, those are plays that players don't make. He's a special player, and he's just getting better and better and more confidence. And, you know, I think he was a perimeter player, and now he's finding a way to attack the interior, and he's got a system and Brunette's system that he can make plays, and he wants to extend plays, and that's what Bruno's looking for. And so I think it's become a really good mix, and I do love the contract. I think it's both player friendly and team friendly. You know, it's a 3-year deal where he can go out there and try to earn some more money on the back end. You know, it's not locking him in, but it's also cap friendly for a player that is maybe the best pure offensive production guy. You know, he's the most creative offensively that I think the Preds have. And so it's a different dynamic, and nice to see him lock it up, because it is funny. It's just his reactions. He's just stone the whole way. He doesn't show much emotion, but I think we're seeing the way he's playing. He's playing with that passion, and that's what you're looking for.
We are talking to the great Hal Gill this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Hal, let's talk streaks. What was the longest winning streak you were part of when you played?
Oh, that's a good – you know what? I think I was with the Bruins. We won the President's Trophy, and it was one of those – like, we get on the bus after a game and go, how did we just win that one? Like, how did we just keep winning? And we kind of laughed at it. And I'm not sure how many games that was. But I know that feeling where you just – keep going out. And let's look at what the Preds are doing. I think someone showed me a stat, like, over these games they've all been by 2 goals or more, and that's only happened one other time in the NHL. I think it was the Islanders that did that a long time ago in the 90s. It doesn't happen very often where you dominate games. You know, these third periods against good teams, Colorado and Minnesota, they're burying teams and taking the will out of their game, and that's so hard to do in the NHL. It's not like you know, this team is sneaking up on someone and surprises them. They all know. Everyone knows that the Preds are hot, and they're one of the hottest teams in this last half of the season. So they're not sneaking up on anyone. And then they're finishing with a punch, and they're doing it with 4 lines and 6D and 2 goalies, and it's fun to watch right now.
At what point does it become pressurized?
A lot of frosties.
Yeah, a lot of frosties. Because I asked this, and you know, in baseball, when somebody gets like a 20-game hitting streak going, all the media jumps on them, and you think you'll get it tonight, what's going on? I think the further the Preds go with this, I think the more pressure drops on them. Am I right in this, or am I just an idiot? You can answer both ways. I don't mind.
Well, you know what? It's so funny in the NHL because you're only as good as your last game. And, like, you know, Barry Trotz was a seller. He saw that game against Dallas, and he much admitted it. He said, yeah, they showed me who they are. They lost a big game against Dallas. They needed a good performance, and maybe not the win, but at least compete, and they didn't. And so it was doom and gloom. They cancel U2, and I think Barry Trotz was getting ready to deal everyone on that team and say, hey, let's do this rebuild and let's keep going. And then the boys turned it around and they went on a road trip and figured it out. And I think now they're at a point where every game is kind of another test of their mentality. And, you know, they're playing Montreal, the team that hasn't had a lot of wins. but they know that they got to go out there and maybe a little chip on their shoulder where they're saying, hey, don't write us off. I think that's more important than the win streak. I think it's the whole, hey, we got a team and we want to compete. So, you know, I think maybe the pressure is in different places. It's not necessarily on the win streak. It's on the, I got something to prove here as a team.
Yeah, well, not only that, you know, Montreal comes in. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. How dangerous are teams how when they don't care what they do? When they have nothing to play for, they don't care. How dangerous are those teams?
Well, I always say, like, there's going to be guys that are going to cheat, and they're going to try to, you know, they want to get their points. And they're not necessarily worried about losing the game and making the safe play or the right play. And so they're dangerous because they're going to try stuff. You know, you got guys like Nick Suzuki, who's having a great year, Cole Caulfield, Slavkovsky, like these guys are young players that are trying to make plays. And so they're coming down on you. They're not going to make the safe play. So if you play it the right way, you should be able to capitalize and make them pay for their, you know, lack of detail. But at the same time, they're good players and they're going to play fast and they're going to play without a care. And that's dangerous. So it's a challenge mentally to stay into that and focus on playing the right way and doing the right things. And if they do that, they should come out with a win, but it's a lot easier said than done.
Okay, so this is follow me on this, because we've talked about this a little bit, both here and when I was doing the pregame show with you and Max. Barry Trotz, to me, is one of very, very few people that could have successfully pulled off what he did, and that is canceling a trip and saying, hey, it's not good enough, you haven't earned it, and basically, you know, pissing the boys off for greatness, and they go out and they do this, and they've won eight in a row. There's not everybody can get away with that. I would think you would agree. So how has that result, what has that shown Barry Trotz of what he should do for the rest of this week and before 2 o'clock on Friday? Does that, in your mind, more than just the win streak, but the response from his team, the attitude from his team, how they took that punishment, does that change his mindset of, okay, maybe I don't really want to upset this apple cart too much and I'm just going to ride with what I got?
Yeah. Well, I do think, you know, the U2 thing is made the headlines, but I think more importantly, you had a leadership group that was pretty hurt about losing 9-2. I think we can't overlook the fact that they were embarrassed, and the young guys too, like, oh wow, this can happen in the NHL. You can get completely embarrassed. The older guys know that it's not acceptable. I don't think they had to cancel a U2 concert for them to realize that they need to be better than that. I think that was in the locker room. And I think there'd be a big part of the response, maybe 80% of the response was because of the embarrassment. Maybe 20% was the pee-pee whack from Trotsky coming down and saying, hey, that's not good enough. And so I think there's something to be said for that. And now they're trying to carry that over and play with that little passion and whatever drove them to get there, whether it was the embarrassment of that loss or the canceling of that trip. I think these guys are responding, and I think Barry Trotz has to look at it and say, it's a hard job for Barry Trotz to say, is this my team or was that my team? And I think right now it's hard to say that this isn't the team, especially with the way that they've dominated these games.
No doubt about it. Hal, it's going to be a good one tonight at Bridgestone. Looking forward to it. Thanks as always. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, I just wanted to, Chase, if I can take 1 second. I went to a high school game last night, Ensworth Tigers played Ravenwood in a nail biter. Ensworth lost by one. The rematch is tonight. It's going to be awesome. A battle for G Nash supremacy in the Preds Cup. And so I want to give my Tigers a shout out because it's going to be an epic game. It was awesome last night. Bellevue was packed. Terry Crisp Arena was bumping and it was awesome. Great to see high school hockey has taken off and is a lot of fun. And so they're playing tonight, late game at Centennial. And I want to give my Tigers shout out. Go get them, boys.
Awesome. What time is the game?
I think it's an 8:45 tilt, late game.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. We love high school athletics, man. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. All right, no guys. Doubt. Enjoy the games tonight.
Will do. Thanks, Gilsey.
You got it.
Hal Gill, presented by Dunkin', joining us here on the program, and all really good stuff. Yeah, obviously high school hockey, we are a big supporter of that, all high school sports on this program. So I decided we have a pair of tickets for tonight's game to give away right now. How about that, Joe?
Let's do it, buddy.
But you got to earn it. We're going to tie it all together. Predators play Montreal tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Back in 2012, the Predators made a trade with the Montreal Canadiens on February 17th, and they acquired one Hal Gill. There were some other pieces to this. There were some draft picks and a prospect, but there was one player specifically that the Predators sent to Montreal to get Skillsy services here in Smashville. Who was that player? 615-737-1025. First person to get that right will win a pair of tickets to tonight's game against the Montreal Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena.
All right, say it again.
The Predators made a trade with Montreal in 2012, and that's how they acquired Hal Gill. What was the primary piece the Predators gave away, primary player the Predators gave away?
Ooh, good one.
To get Hal Gill.
I know the answer. It's Andre Dawson.
That is not the answer.
Oh, damn it.
615-737-1025, and we'll get back to our question of the day, which is?
Should some sports records come with an asterisk? I say absolutely. You guys say, are the large majority saying no. Let us know what you think. 615-737-1025 on our text line.
And we will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Appreciate Hal Gill for joining us.
Oh, I love Hal. You know what? In that segment, I learned so much from Hal in that segment. And like, you know, I love the Predators, but I don't know the whole NHL overall like you do and other people. So when we talk to Hal and Wyshynski on Thursday, it's always fun because I get called up and I act like I belong in the conversation, which I usually don't. Chaser, real quick, we've got breaking news everywhere. You know what's going on?
No.
Facebook is down.
Oh.
Facebook is down, Dr. Crane. And Dr. Crane doesn't have a Facebook. I'm even more impressed by you.
I don't.
I think you every day, man, you get higher and higher on my list of awesomeness.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like a lot of people under 30 don't have Facebook.
Well, I'm 27 and I got it, Chaser. So you know,
forgot you were born on a leap year, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So my thing is, with Facebook done, how will I ever know about your kid and his travel ball and the 6 championships he won last weekend? How will I ever know? Please let me know. How will I know that your kid won 6 championships? By the way, does any kid not win a travel ball championship? It's all Facebook is inundated with in spring and summer. Is like,
I don't know.
We won the travel ball tournament. Yay!
I was in a travel ball tournament once, and we lost really bad.
What?
Like, really, really bad.
What? You lose in travel ball?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Did you post about it on – or did your parents post about it on Facebook?
They don't even know what Facebook is.
God bless. Man, your family is getting better. Every time I hear about your family
– I got to meet them.
He did.
I got to meet Mr. and Mrs. Dr. Crane.
Yes.
I did.
When?
The little tram thing at Vegas.
Oh, yeah. They went with you?
Yeah, I went with my family.
I didn't know. I thought you mean your brother out there.
Well, parents tagged along.
Okay, you didn't tell the JoJo that. I got to find this stuff out from the Chaser, man, on
no,
air.
Great.
Sorry. But yeah, Chase met him. It was pretty cool moment.
It was awesome. I was glad I got to meet him. Real quick, we do have an answer to the Preds question, and it was apparently it took a second for people to get it, but it was Blake Jeffrion.
Nice.
The key piece. Now, some of you clearly did some Googling on the text line and said Robert Slaney. Yes, that was the prospect that went back that none of you have ever heard of. But Blake Jeffrion is the one I was looking for.
Yeah. So. What did he do against Buffalo? He set some record in a game.
Did a hat trick.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and he was the first, like he grew up in Nashville and then played for the Predators, was drafted by the Predators and played for the Predators, and obviously his grandfather played for Montreal, so he went there. But back to our question of the day, a couple of answers on our text line about asterisks. James in Fairview, if a current player breaks a record with the same amount of games that a previous record has held, i.e. a current running back at 2,000 yards within 14 games, do you get the record free and clear, or does it still get an era asterisk? That's an interesting question.
That's a lot.
So,
right,
like,
there.
If Derrick Henry had broken it in 14 games, we'd look at it differently, obviously.
I think you should be rewarded with that. That's why, yeah. You know, when OJ, his 14, did it in 14 games. And the question is, well, if he had two more games, what would he do? We'll never know. So I think, and I hate saying this, we owe the respect to on the field what he did for that. And I think any player should do that. And if it's different, if I break your record that you've held, again, since 1970, when you got to play, again, 70 games, and I played 82 games, I beat your record. Now I hold it because I beat you. I think you deserve the respect to say, oh, well, Chase McCabe did it in 70 games. This big fat idiot did it in 82 games. So I just think it's a level of respect there that goes on to see that, because you can't go back and say, well, what if OJ had two more games? What would he have done? Or, you know, could have Derek gotten a fourth game? We don't know all those things. So I just think we get the respect of the asterisk. And this comes off of the Caitlin Clark thing, like, Pete Maravich had a three-pointer. People get all upset over this, and I don't know why. But, you know, so then do we add the asterisk and say, all right, here's what Pete had to do and going on. It takes nothing away from Caitlin Clark or anybody else. It just says, look, there were different things that go on, and I think we should – respect the era of the time when it was like that.
Terry said bowling should be the same way. Should be an asterisk beside two-handed bowlers. I mean, are you gonna say the same thing about switch hitters in baseball?
No, my son's a two-handed bowler, and I got to tell you right now, for your bowling people out there, two-handed bowling is revitalizing and bringing people back to bowling. I know the leagues are packed. I know there's still, but a lot of these kids now are doing the two-handed bowling, and they're fantastic, and they love it, and it's great to watch. Whatever gets somebody inside a bowling alley can do that. There are no records for one-hand or two-hand. Let them do it.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll continue to get to this throughout the show, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, you know we are all about local. We are hyper-local here on this program. And Austin Peay, the men's basketball team, doing some good things right now. We're going to talk to their head coach, Corey Gibson, coming up next and tell you what's going on up in Clarksville here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.